my children are not in this box. You want them to be in this box. So we need to meet them where they are. So just going through this journey, I did not want other parents to have to go through this alone, because this can be such a hard journey when you are going through it by yourself.
Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. This month, we're mixing it up as we feature successful mamas, all of whom have ADHD. In the first episode, each of these beautiful women will share their ADHD story with you. And while each lady is different, I know that parts of every story will resonate in your heart as we share in both her pain and the triumphs of living with ADHD. Each of these women also has a heart for the ADHD community. As we dive into our self-care series, each mama will share with us in the second episode an area of self-care that we can use to take care of our ADHD brain, body, and soul. Because taking care of yourself is a basic requirement of living, like food and water, not a luxury item. I cannot wait for you to not only learn what gives you energy, but know wholeheartedly that it is totally doable that when we make it ADHD friendly, we can take care of ourselves well. We're starting with simplicity. Baby steps, and we're aiming for progress over perfection. Self-care can and must be done in every stage of motherhood. Get ready. Let's figure out what self-care truly fits you. You are worthy, you are valuable, and you are not alone. Come on, meet this successful ADHD mama. Our guest this week is Yakini Pierce of ADHD Love. ADHD Love connects parents of ADHD children with resources and role models, a cause close to her heart as both of Yakini's kids have ADHD as well as herself. She saw the gap in understanding. People didn't get her kids. And so she strives to be a change agent in giving other parents the resources they need and want to help their children succeed. Yakini also has 3 degrees, works a full-time job, and runs her own real estate business on the side, on top of being a single mom, making her the perfect candidate to encourage us in pursuing our dreams and setting big goals, even when we have ADHD and kids to raise. I am so excited to chat with Yakini. So let's jump in. Let's welcome Yakini to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Patricia, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing pretty well this morning. So tell me a little bit about your diagnosis story. Like, what even prompted you to head down that road or ask questions? How did you end up here?
Yes, it's really interesting. I did not grow up knowing anything about ADHD. And so I actually found out about ADHD through some situations my children were going through. So I discovered ADHD with my daughter. She was 4 years old, going through a lot of, I'll say, stuff. I mean, she was getting in trouble, getting kicked out of daycares. And so I took her into a therapist who recommended a psychologist. And the psychologist looked at her, but said, you know, she's 4 years old. I just don't want to diagnose her this early. He says, if you still see the symptoms, come back. And I said, okay. In the meantime, my son got a lot of attention. So he's my hyperactivity impulsive type. So you can imagine, I mean, he was just going through a lot of anxiety and getting angry, and he would just throw things. And I mean, he would walk into classrooms and knock things off. And so there was just a lot that was going on with him. So long story short, a lot of the focus was on him and just trying to get him situated, diagnosed, get plans put in place with the school through all of this. And then after that, once I got my son settled, then I went ahead and went back to get my daughter tested. And at 11 years old, she was diagnosed. But through all of this, I recognize a lot of them in me, right? A lot of the things that I saw, I said, man, I went through this in school. And plus, most of the time, people say that when your kids are diagnosed, one of the parents have ADHD, right? So oh, yeah. I went ahead and got tested. And I was diagnosed with ADHD, but with not a specific type, but with comorbidity with the anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. So that was my diagnosis. But again, when I look back, I was very talkative in school. I was all over the place. I was nonstop. But then I also would fall asleep, you know, as they were talking. So if it was a boring subject, I'm like knocked out. And we actually thought, ironically, that, you know, it could be when I went to the doctor, we thought it was like hyperglycemia. I mean, it was just like all these other things that it could have been. But come to find out, 45 years later, it was ADHD. So.
And when you got that news, what are the feelings that are running through, I mean, not just your head, but like your body, of like, whoa, what did I just get here? How are you feeling?
So it's validation for me. I know some people feel scary about it, but it was like, yeah, aha. It just all came together. So now when I look back, and then I don't look back as I'm upset that I didn't get the diagnosis earlier. And I mean, obviously it would have been nice because then I could have maybe put strategies in place. Again, right. And I say maybe because that was not a conversation that was really talked about back then. So it could have been, they would have just put me on medication. Who knows, you know? So today it's just, for me, it's validation. I had already been using a lot of techniques. I talk about my parents quite a bit because I was very blessed as a child to have two parents who really got me. So ironically, a lot of the strategies I would put in place for my children or even for myself now, they had already put in place, again, not knowing I had ADHD, you know, just simple things like making sure I write lists down or put things in a planner or, you know, stay organized as possible, making sure that I use a budget when it comes to money or making sure that I try to reread material because I had trouble comprehending and getting the material the first time around. So reread it. It's mm-hmm. okay that you have to reread it. So just all those little things, they helped me put in place already. So it was just more validation than it was me being upset that, oh my God, I have ADHD now. I wish I knew then. And then I could have done better, right? Yeah, I could have tweaked some things, but I think overall my life has gone pretty well.
How do you think your parents knew what was going to be the right strategies for you? Like, I know that's kind of like trying to like dive into their head, but maybe you've had this conversation with them of like, how did they know that it was okay to say, hey, you can reread that again, or like giving you those tools. Like, do you know what was going through their minds? Were they, because I'm like so happy for you that your parents did that for you. How do you think they knew?
You know, Patricia, it's really interesting because it's something I do with my children today. I try to really meet them where they are. I try to connect with them. I try to understand them. And part of it may be just the empath side of me. And both of my parents were like that. They both were trying to understand me and get me. And they cared. You know what I mean? I mean, they just really cared about me, cared about my thoughts, my success, my failures. I mean, they just really put a lot of things in perspective. They were just really good at connecting with who I am, even today, and who I was growing up. So it was just them being with me. And, you know, it's kind of funny because as an ADHD person looking back, so I say overall things went well, but obviously I had a lot of struggles. And one of those struggles was friendships, for example. And I always said my parents were like my best friends, right? Because they were always there and they were always good to me. And yes, we've had our issues, but overall they were really a foundation for me. And I probably realize that more now than I did. But again, it's just because it connected with me.
No, that's beautiful. That's one thing that I think about too, is my mom was really good at that, at explaining things and giving me the tools. And I wonder, like, how did she know? And my mom has passed away many years ago, so I can't go back and ask her, but I feel like that's so fitting because I feel like I would say the same thing about my mom. My mom never went to college or anything, but yet somehow she knew how to teach me how to stay organized in school, even though that wasn't her strong suit. She wasn't like a particularly spectacular student. So yeah, that's something I've been thinking a lot about recently. It's like, how did she know? Obviously I can't ask her. And
yeah,
she just met me where I was. So thank you. That was like a really fond memory of my mom there. that I super appreciate when your mom's not around and you can have those great like reflections about how they raised you. It's really beautiful. Totally off track of where I was going with my interview. Okay. So how many years has it been since you got your diagnosis?
I got it August of last year. So okay. August 2020.
So you're literally like a new baby ADHDer here, but yet you've had quite a bit of experience with your kids. So if you look back to how things were before you knew, and now you know, what are the things that you're doing differently to accommodate this piece of information?
I think the biggest thing is knowing that some of the things I do is okay. It's okay, right? So some of that self-talk is different. So like I said, I had a lot of strategies put in place just because I had the foundation from my parents. But for me, myself, as I have just grown in just the last several months, it's okay that certain things happen, even though I don't want it to happen, right? It's okay that I am listening and then I just kind of, you know, blank off. Yeah. Or I'm like, and it's, you know, my mom will say, are you listening to me? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, can you repeat that, please?
I was really,
you know, so I'm okay with some of the things I do. And then I'm not embarrassed to follow up with, I'm so sorry I missed that. Please repeat it, you know? So that's, I think that's probably the biggest change in me is just being okay. Because now I know there is a title to a lot of the things that I was doing in the past and a lot of frustration, and it's okay. Just like with friendships, I was just talking to somebody else recently about this, and the friendships that I have, the close friends that I have, I don't talk to them every day. And I talk to them maybe once a month, sometimes it's once every 3 months. I mean, but we're still very close. And again, it's okay, right? And so it used to be that it used to bother me that I did not talk to someone like every day of the week, and why are they not talking to me? But now I've grown to be, it's okay to have really good, meaty, heartfelt relationships and you don't talk to each other every day. So just all those things just came together.
What was the catalyst though that pushed you forward to say like, to be okay with it's okay?
To be honest with you, part of it is age. I turned 45. Part of it is age. Part of it is just the growth in myself, the confidence in myself that took me a very long time to obtain, right? And so let's go back to friendships. Friendships was, if I did not have a best friend, I would just feel like a failure. Like, why didn't people invite me to X or Y? You know, I don't have that issue anymore. Now it's like, I have great friends and they have friends and it's all good, right? And that's something that I had to, just getting older. Like I said, it was just, even I think I've started to be okay, even not knowing I had ADHD. So I think it's just the growth inside of me, the confidence, like going back to school. I struggled in school. I struggled and I was not a bad student. I was like an A, B, C sometimes student, but I struggled. And it took me a long time to go back. I always said I did not want to go back to get my MBA, but I think part of it was is because I struggled. When I turned, I would say about 43, I decided, you know what? I'm ready. I'm going to go back to school. And not only did I go back to school, I killed it. I got a 4.0, which I've never seen in my life. Never. I mean, I killed it. And a lot of that is just mentally just really being confident in me and just the growth in me and being proud of who I am and where I've come, you know, how far I've come. And yes, I'm not perfect, but I think that's part of it too. So then getting the diagnosis, it was like, oh, that's even better because, like I said, there's a name to some of the things that I have been doing. So all that together.
Hey there, successful mama. Are you as time blind as I am? The solution is here. No more, I was supposed to be somewhere 20 minutes ago. Panic on the daily. If you're a double booker or an appointment forgetter, I can help. Do you know why you can't keep track of it all? Because you either don't have the skills or you don't have the system. Likely both. Keeping a calendar is a basic life skill that many of us never learned. Why? Because either no one taught us, or they taught us in a way that didn't make sense to our ADHD brains. Let's change that. I hate watching you struggle on life skills that are learnable. Remember, you are not doomed to be a hot mess. Feeling confident and prepared is doable. Keeping up with a calendar can be attainable. I want to give you a basic system that works for your life and then help you develop a plan to actually keep up with the system. I know that you are ready to build calm and peace into your day by knowing where you need to be and when.
My class on how to keep a calendar when you have ADHD is available for pre-sale now. Woohoo! And for you, my successful mama, I'm offering a little something special to you for being the first one in. So head over to patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar, that's all one word, and sign up now to guarantee your discount before the price goes up when the doors open. You are not alone, and I'm here to help you create the motherhood success story that you deserve. Progress over perfection. Let's move forward. Stop the chaos and sign up for class right now. patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar. I want to go back to the friendship question. So what do you see that you do differently now in making friends as a mom? Because I feel like mom friendship is hard. You know, knowing that you have a little bit different brain, what's like maybe one or two strategies that you use in making friendships differently now as a grown-up versus a kid?
Well, today, my friendships usually come out of, I'll say, social activities. I won't say I have a lot of, we'll say, mom friends. You know, okay. It's more of acquaintances when it comes to other parents. So, okay. For example, if I go to, back to the activity, so if I go to a particular gathering, I'll see the moms and I'll talk to them and say, you know, catch up with them during that particular activity, but I may not talk to them outside of the activity. Now, my core friends are the people that, when I moved to Cleveland, those are the ones that I connected to, and I have been friends with them for 15, 20 years, and those are my friends today. So those are my base of core friends. So any friendships that I make outside of that is just, like I said, more of acquaintances or I'll say social friends, and I catch up with them at a particular event.
All right, so changing the subject. How did you start ADHD love?
So after going through just all of the things with my children, I went through a lot of frustrating roller coasters. And part of it was that I felt others were not getting my children, you know, and I felt that they were giving up on my children. And I felt that they were labeling my children, even though I didn't know what was wrong at that time. I just knew something was different. It just in me, I said, there's just something different, but it's not like they're trying to be an evil children or bad children, because sometimes they would really be upset at themselves when they would do something wrong. I mean, they would just be so angry, and it used to break my heart, and it used to make me so mad when, for example, they would compare my child to 25 other children. It's like my children are not in this box. You want them to be in this box. So we need to meet them where they are. So just going through this journey, I did not want other parents to have to go through this alone, because this can be such a hard journey when you are going through it by yourself. And my idea of the ADHD Love platform is that, so I've narrowed it down where it is for parents with ADHD children and parents that have ADHD that have ADHD children, both men and women. And the idea is to be almost like a one-stop shop where they can get as much information as they need as possible. So my goal is to interview other parents and to interview experts, coaches, educators, doctors about specific topics around ADHD. Because like I said, I want to be another resource where people can come to and find as much information as they need. So the bottom line is that I just want them to know other parents are going through those same journeys. And then I want them to be able to get some basic information about ADHD and all the other aspects of it. So
no, that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves out there, is there is so much information and a lot of it is not good.
And that's actually another point. That is actually another very good point. So when I first started trying to find my community, I would go into certain rooms and I left worse, feeling worse than when I just got on that day, right? And a part of it was people attacking other people for what they were saying, really not giving good information, just attacking, right? People would ask questions and it was just an attack on based on the question they asked. And so those type of things, I don't want to bring into my community. I want to bring reality, but positivity. One of the things you and I have talked about, I mean, we already know we have ADHD, right? That's our reality. We know our children have ADHD. That's the reality. We already know that they're going to go through different struggles. So how can I do my part to help them look at what they're going through and make it an easier path, right? Or how can I walk beside them as they're going through a particular struggle? And that's what I want to do.
I know there are so many parents out there that are going to come across what you're doing and just feel the weight lifted, that there's someone there with their hand out to say, hey, I've been there. I get it. It's hard. Like, grab on. I'm going to help. I'll pull you up with me and then we'll walk this together. I'm so glad that you're doing this. I think there's such a need there, not just a need for what the kids need in terms of their struggles, but a need for love in the way that it's delivered. And so I feel like your name is just spot on for what you're doing. It is beautiful.
Thank you.
Mama, we are going to pause there. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that part two of our conversation shows up on your phone right away when Yakini and I dive into our discussion on self-care, how she chooses a goal, creates the structure needed to be successful, and how we too can achieve big goals with ADHD. Talk to you soon, successful mama. Thank you for listening to Motherhood and ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodandadhd.com.